We invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 12. We'll begin reading with verse number 31 and read down through verse number 35. John chapter 12, beginning with verse number 31. Our title comes from verse 32, Glorify Him in Himself. John chapter 12, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, that is, Judas was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, that is, if God be glorified in Christ, God shall also glorify him in himself. God shall also glorify Jesus Christ in Jesus Christ, and shall straightway glorify him. That is, it shall be just in a very short time God will glorify me in myself because I'm going to glorify God. And it all happened when Judas was filled with the devil and he went out to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that the time of Jesus' glorification was at the beginning of his betrayal by Judas and the starting of his crucifixion. Verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So the Lord Jesus Christ talks about Judas' betrayal beginning the time of his being glorified. And he said, the Son of God is glorified, and therefore God himself will be glorified in the Son of Man, the Son of God. And if God be glorified in him, God then shall glorify him, Christ, in himself. So we see that Christ's glory was that which came last. The Father's glory came first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. Now, what does the word glorified mean? We talk a lot about glory, and I want to make sure that you understand what the word glory means. If you'll turn in your Bibles back to John chapter 8, and verse number 54, John chapter 8 and verse number 54, the Bible says, Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Now, that word honor and honoreth, in John chapter 8 and 54 is the same Greek word translated glory. So what is it to glorify God? It is to give him the honor, the respect that's due to him. Now, can we add to God's glory? Absolutely not. God is perfectly glorious in himself. We cannot glorify God, that is, by adding to his glory, but what we are to do is to ascribe, to accredit to him the glory that belongs to him. We show that he is glorious. Now, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, we can add glory to him in that we give him praise and thanksgiving, and we bring forth the fruit of the Spirit that brings forth more honor and glory to him because he is the one that causes us to be able to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Now, you cannot honor one's self. Turn to John chapter 7 and verse number 18. John chapter 7 and verse number 18. He that speaketh of himself, or he that speaketh from himself, seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. So if you seek your own glory, you do not have the ability to attain that. He that seeketh his glory that sent him, if you seek to honor Christ as Christ sought to honor God, then that brings glory upon yourself. So we cannot bring honor and glory to our own selves. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 6. If I can get back to that. Here it is, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." I didn't go around tooting my horn like some of these other false brethren do and try to get glory that is rightfully due my office. But I didn't even try to claim that. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 12, he says, let's read verse 11 to begin with. "As ye know how we exalted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you should walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." God has called you unto his kingdom and unto his glory. He will invest you in that glory. He will invest that glory in you as his at his proper time. Skip on down in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 19. "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." The Apostle Paul said, even as we are Christ's glory as he brings us to the Father, so you are my glory as I bring you to Christ. So the glory belongs to the Holy Spirit and belongs to God and not to us. If you glory in yourself, then you have a false glory. So Jesus does not speak of himself, and so neither did John. John the Apostle was a disciple that Jesus loved, but he never called himself by name. In John chapter 13, in verse number 23, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." Now we know that to be John the Apostle, John the disciple, but he won't mention his own name. Why? He doesn't want to glory in himself. John chapter 19 and verse number 26. John chapter 19 and verse number 26. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved," John the Apostle again, Jesus is looking at him from his cross, "whom he loved, he saith unto his woman," excuse me, I got one word ahead. "He said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And then he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home." So we find out that John is the one that's being referred to here. But because he is in the Holy Spirit, he does not wish to have himself glorified. He won't even mention his own name. He won't even ascribe his own name in his book that he writes. But he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And we see that because of this, because he has that same kind of quality that the Holy Spirit had in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, there was a compatibility between John the Apostle and the Lord Jesus Christ, in so much that John was the only human being in the entire human race that Jesus could pick out that was so much like himself that he could turn his own mother over to and cause her to be able to live with John in his home for the rest of her life. That's amazing. But it has to do with him not seeking his own glory, not naming himself, not, as we would say, tooting his own horn. So she was able to be comfortable in John's house as if it were living with her own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So John then benefits, and the book of John is just rich. And it is different from the other three gospels. We call them the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But John is different. And why is it different? Well, first of all, because John was differently called by the Holy Spirit. He was a different gift. But second of all, and not to be diminished from the first one, that he was gifted by the Holy Spirit like this, but he was given the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she shared with him in those fireside chats in John's home, around the dinner table in John's home, things that nobody else was given to understand and know. And John comes up with so many different things in love for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in love for Mary and her love for him, in that she could share all these things and open up her heart and tell him things that none of the other gospels are privy to. They didn't know these things, but he did. What does it have to do? It has to do with a rightfully relating to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not speaking of oneself, but honoring the person of the Lord God. And like Jesus did, said, I'm going to honor my Father, and then God the Father will honor me in myself. I'm going to glorify God, and then God will glorify him in himself, speaking of his own person. So they waited until God brought the glory. If you look at John 16 and verse number 12, John 16 and verse number 12, the Holy Ghost is the only one that can glorify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 16, 12. Jesus speaking to his disciples, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. That's hard. You have things you have from God. You know they're from God. God has showed them unto you, but you can't teach them. You can't get them out because those people that you are sent to don't have the ability to receive them. So what do you do? He says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Just like he left his mother in the hands of John, he leaves the apostles in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And he says, for he will not speak of himself. Again, you have the Son of God who will not speak of himself. He will only glorify God. And you're going to be given the Holy Spirit who will not speak of himself. So he who tooteth his own horn is not of God. We are here to glorify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatsoever you do, 1 Corinthians 10:31. I was going to read this later, but I can't wait. I'm going to try to get it out now. Whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. So we must glorify and honor God and give him the respect that is due and wait on him. If he determines that we are to be honored, if he determines that we are to be in any way glorified, then he will do it in his good time and in such a way that it will not ruin you by raising you up in pride. So the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't glorify himself. He glorified the Father, and he waited for the Father to glorify him in himself. To glorify Christ in Christ's self, waited on the Father. Then the Holy Spirit is another comforter that is coming, similar, like unto, is at one with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he shall not speak of himself. Dear soul, if that doesn't tell you something about true religion, I don't know what will. We see these so-called church buses going down the road with the name of the pastor. It's a lot of times a picture of the pastor. And sometimes of his wife, who is said to be the co-pastor. I don't understand that. Never have heard a hen crow. But anyhow, these buses going down the road, supposed to be church buses with the name of the church all over it, the name of the pastor all over it, the picture of the pastor all over it. And I say, wait a minute. That don't sound like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. Jesus Christ will not speak of himself. John the Apostle will not write his own name in the Scriptures. He says the disciple whom Jesus loved. And that's how he got the mother of Jesus Christ turned over to him to live with him for the rest of his life and the rest of her life in his own home. All right, go back to John 16, verse number 13. Howbeit when he, who are we talking about? The Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? To guide you into all truth. Now, why doesn't he guide you into the Holy Spirit? Because he will not glorify himself. Listen, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. And that's intriguing to me. I've told you before, that is highly intriguing to me, that a person of the Trinity will hear God speaking to him, will hear God speaking through him. How does the Holy Spirit hear? And the Holy Spirit comes back to me and said, how is it that you don't think I hear? All that the Father hath is mine. All that Christ has is mine. And therefore he says it in a way for us to comprehend it. And he talks about him hearing like we do. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Be careful with that phrase, because it's not saying he's going to show you things to come that haven't happened yet from 2021. But back here at the year 97 or 95 or whenever this was written, he shall show you things to come. What does that mean? It means that the early newborn Christian church was now separating itself from Judaism, and they didn't know which way to go, how to go, what to do, what was to be done. John is said to weep much in Revelation chapter 5 because they didn't know what to do. The temple was over and done with. The curtain was torn. Sacrifices were forbidden. And everything was new. Now you came through the person of the Lord Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is going to teach the church how to be a church. How God will have the church to act in the New Testament age. That's what it means by show you things to come. Now listen. He, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me. Jesus won't glorify himself. He glorifies the Father. And the Father said, I have both glorified it and your name, and I will glorify it again. And it says, if he glorifies himself, he shall also glorify me in myself. And then the Holy Spirit is said that he is to glorify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is as if you're sitting at the dinner table with a clean plate before you, a napkin on your lap, your utensil sitting there, and the food is out there, but you are forbidden to reach out and get it. That those that are sit around you are to serve your plate for that which you are to eat. So you don't serve yourself. You wait until you are served and you eat that which is put before you as the other brothers and sisters put what they think you would want on your plate, and you have to do the same on theirs. Now, that's not biblical. That's not that is a habit in some religions, but it's just an example I wanted you to hear and understand that We don't serve ourselves. We don't glorify ourselves. We don't honor ourselves. We don't esteem ourselves. We are to glorify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is to glorify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is to glorify the person of God. And God the Father is to glorify Him. Jesus Christ had to come saying in John chapter 14, if you believe in God the Father, you can believe also in me. For I and the Father are one. So I don't want any glory for myself. I want God the Father to be glorified and me to be honored and esteemed and glorified in Him. That's the way it's supposed to be. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. I can't talk to you of these things now. It's just like when I called Lazarus out of the grave. How could he come out of the grave? He couldn't hear the command. He was dead. The command had to enable him to hear and to respond. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to do. The Holy Spirit is going to give you the ability to comprehend and to respond to the command and enable you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit is going to do. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I notice that some of these buses going down the road on the side has this bird on there, you know, dove, whatever it is. And then below the dove picture, it says, we've got the Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't tell you to do that. The Holy Spirit doesn't glorify the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit honors and glorifies the person of the Lord Jesus. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only name, dear soul. His name is above every name in this world and the worlds to come. But he doesn't glorify himself. The Holy Spirit does it. So if we are of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are those who give all the honor and praise and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and not try to exalt and to promote ourselves. Dear soul, that is the great difference between the harlot church and the true church. And when organized religion determined to go into the business world to get their tactics and to begin to advertise like the business world does, that's when you begin to understand and see they were not of the Holy Spirit. When you start trying to use the business world's tactics to enhance what you call the true church, dear soul, you just brought down the true church from its glory, and you have added to it that which will bring down the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, how many things are Christ? He shall receive of mine. Look at the next verse, John 16:15. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. He shall take that which I am and that which I have and show it unto you. That's how it is to work. He shall glorify me. What shall he have at his disposal? Everything that the Lord Jesus Christ has. Everything that the Father has revealed in and through and by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ belongs to the Holy Spirit. And we are in very good hands because we have the Holy Spirit with us today. And there was a deficit of the perception and understanding of things. Go back to John chapter 12 in verse number 16. There was a deficit, there was a lack of understanding even in the chosen disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Look at John 12 and verse number 16. These things understood not his disciples. Make no mistake about it. They are his disciples. But they understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, they had a lack of understanding because Jesus was not yet glorified by the Holy Spirit and by the Father. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. So we understand and see that that is the responsibility of the Holy Spirit of God. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 26. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, who is that? Which is the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Have you ever wondered how in the world did Matthew and Mark and Luke and John remember all that stuff? When was it that he fed the 5,000? When was it that he turned the water into wine? What was going on? Who was there? Dear soul, I have to make a grocery list to go to the grocery store to get two or three items. It's unbelievable. But see, that's the work of the Holy Ghost. And people will say, boy, I wish I could remember scriptures like you do, preacher. No, you do remember scriptures like I do. I don't remember scriptures. I can't remember scriptures of myself. It's the Holy Spirit. That's my gift. God gave me the gift of a calling. And therefore, when I stand to preach, the Holy Spirit activates the Holy Spirit within me and brings all things to my remembrance that he would have me preach. There's a lot of times poor old preachers will go home with the mully grubs. Oh, I should have brought out this verse or that chapter or whatever. And the Lord rebuked me. He said, go back to John 14, 26 and tell me whose responsibility it was to remember scriptures. You say the Holy Spirit. He said, then why are you saying that you didn't do right when it was the Holy Spirit's job to give it to you? You're saying that the Holy Spirit didn't do a good job. You don't want to do that. Dear soul, listen. John 14, 26. He will teach you all things. First of all, the teacher of the church is not the bishop or the pastor or the elder or whoever. The teacher of of the church is the Holy Spirit. And you know what's amazing is that you can stand and preach to people year after year after year and go over something 100 times. And then they'll say, you know, brother, I was riding down the road the other day and God showed me this. And you think, I've been trying to show you that for 15 years. But that's because the Holy Spirit don't want the preacher to act like he's the one that's the teacher. He's not. The Holy Spirit is. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't teach without him, and the Holy Spirit doesn't teach without means. But sometimes the Holy Spirit does teach and brings to their remembrance the things that God would have them to remember at the time and place when God would have them to remember it. Dear soul, if you ever walk with God very long, and you ever walk with God's people very long, you will come to understand that it is their providential life, the things that happen to them daily in their life, the influences in their life, the trials, the heartaches, the temptations, the afflictions, the blessings. Those are the things that the Holy Spirit uses to enhance a particular verse. He will give them that verse and give them understanding of that verse and clear up their minds instantly and say, oh, this is what that meant, because they're going through it and experiencing it. So You can, you need to be a faithful preacher and teacher and give God's people what they need. And you need to give it to them over and over again. Just like when you had a young baby and you put that strained applesauce in their mouth and they spit it right back out. You took that little Teflon-coated spoon and scraped it off her chin and poked it right back in there again. They might spit it out again and you have to poke it right back in. You have to continuously do what God told you to do, but don't mistake yourself as being the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit will use you. Yes, the Holy Spirit can put those things in those people's minds when you're teaching. But He's the only one that can put it in their heart and in their feet. If they're going to live it and know it, it's going to have to be done by the Holy Spirit alone. So this thing about the glory of Christ and the glory of the Holy Spirit is all bound up together with the teaching of the church. And dear soul, it is, go back to John chapter 2 and verse number 11. And understand that it is only when the glory of God is revealed that the church can learn anything. When faith is enhanced, it has to be done when the glory is manifested. Jesus turns the water into wine at the marriage in Cana. And then of that particular time, John chapter 2 and verse number 11 says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee," listen, "and manifested forth his glory. And what was the result? And his disciples believed on him." Dear soul, listen, it's going to have to be when Jesus manifests forth his glory when the disciples will have faith and come to believe in the Lord. That's what the Apostle Paul was telling us in the book of Romans. And I continuously bring this passage of Scripture up, but it fits. And, you know, they said the scribe brings forth out of his treasure, the true gospel preacher, the scribe brings forth out of his treasure things both old and new. Okay, I understand you've heard this before, and you're going to hear it again probably. But this fits, and we need to understand and see it now. Pertaining to the glory of God in the book of Romans, chapter number 3, I believe it is. Let's see. Or is it 2? It's 2, chapter 2. Yes. Now, if we start off with a question in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Okay, now, "but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." Now listen, this is the meat of the thing. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. "To him who by patient continuance in well-doing," listen, "seek for glory and honor and immortality," what does God give them? Eternal life. There has to be within your heart, within your experience of seeking after God, a seeking for God's glory. If you are a Bible scholar, but you are not involved with a desire for the glory of God, you are just a dead religionist who shall burn in hell. I'm sorry, that's the truth. If you don't see the glory of God, You are not going to be able to have the spirituality of true religion. you're just going to have an old dead formalism, and you're just going to dot the I's and cross the T's and not know the person of the word. So he says in Romans 2 and verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, God grants them eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. Glory not mentioned. But in the next verse, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. It doesn't matter what nationality he is. It doesn't matter if he's a Gentile or a Jew. It doesn't matter if he's bond or free, slave or a free man. It doesn't matter if he's male, if they are male or female. It doesn't matter. What matters is seeking for the glory. Again, you do understand that what the sin of man was coming short of the glory. What Adam and Eve did in that garden, dear friend, to bring sin down upon us and judgment down upon us was to fail to honor, respect, glorify God. We told you at the beginning of this lesson, the word glory is the word honor. They didn't honor God. Satan said, yea, hath God said? And she said, come think of it. And she began to doubt God. That's when the glory failed, and that's when the light went out. And when Adam partook of it with her, dear soul, the light went out in his soul too. And now, sinners produce sinners, and here we are, a whole human race full of sinners. What was the issue? The issue was the glory of God. What was the issue of the glory? Failing to honor and glorify God by respecting him and believing his word and doing what he said. Jesus said, ye are my friends if ye keep my commandments. So we see that this passage in Romans chapter 2 is very clear. Without the glory, there's wrath and anguish and tribulation and so forth that comes upon us from God. He says, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. It doesn't matter whether he's a Jew or a Gentile. But to those that bring respect to God, he says, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For one way or another, God will condemn both Jew and Gentiles that don't bring him glory. God will respect and honor and promote those, whether they are Jew or Gentile, that do bring him honor and glory. For he is of no respect of persons, either in judgment, either in damnation or in regeneration. He's no respecter of persons. It has to do with whether he sees the glory of God is the issue in that spirit, that soul's life. That's what it's all about. So in John chapter 12, we read you in verse 16. We'll go back there to get the jumping off place. John chapter 12 and verse 16. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered. Who did we show you in John chapter 14 and verse 26 was the one that would be your remembrance? The Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say the Holy Spirit was to do? He shall glorify me. How? Because he shall take of mine and show it unto you. So we see prior to the Holy Spirit, they did not understand. Go back to John chapter 7. The book of John chapter 7. In verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth into me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. Now listen, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe into him were about to receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Spirit, who's going to bring all things to their remembrance and going to teach them all things that Jesus did not have the opportunity and they did not have the ability to receive. And the Holy Spirit is going to call all those things to their remembrance so that those who wrote the Bible would remember all the various things that God would have written. These things are written that you might believe, John chapter 20. So we see it was the Holy Spirit. And then not only those who were to write the gospel, but those of us who were to read, to study, and to believe, and to live the gospel. The Holy Spirit is essential to bring these things to our remembrance. And yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified, those disciples could not yet understand, perceive, and believe these things. And it says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He was talking about the Holy Spirit, which they should receive. But the Holy Spirit was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And then we go over to John chapter 17 in Jesus' prayer to the Father. John chapter 17. No, that's not what I want. It was John chapter 7 that we just read in verse 39. Go to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 3, and verse number 13. Acts chapter 3, we'll read verses 12 and 13. Acts 3, 12 and 13. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why you marvel that we raise this man up that's been lame all these years? He said, it wasn't us that did it, it was the Lord. Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly unto us, as though by our own power or by our own holiness we had made this man to walk? Listen at verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. What you have just seen in the raising up of this man and the healing of this man that's been lame all these years was done by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was only here to do this, to bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll take time to read on down, and don't do it now, we don't have time to do it now in this message, you will find out that they began to preach to them. Peter began to preach to them how that they had crucified and slain the Lord of glory, who was their Messiah. So honoring the name of the Lord Jesus just naturally flows from this, because that which had happened, the miracle of healing this man, took place by the Holy Spirit only after God had glorified his son Jesus. Those are the exact words, hath glorified his son Jesus. That's what took place. When Jesus Christ is glorified, what we call miracles, which are just natural flow, things that flow from the benevolence of God, They are miracles to us. They take place when Jesus Christ is glorified. No wonder we are in a mess that we're in our land. No wonder that there's 600,000 American graves that have been dug and filled in the last few years by this horrible pandemic. We don't glorify God. We don't honor him. We have turned away from God. our religion, that it is filled with self-centeredness. Preachers exalted themselves. Evangelists promoting themselves. Sending out their letters to ascribe to themselves how much they have done, how many people have been baptized under them, how many people come to their meetings and, come and you're going to be thrilled at experiencing that which is going on with us. That's not God. No. That's why we're in such a mess. This nation needs to turn back to God. We need to cast out every bit of religion that we have going that doesn't have Jesus Christ as the center and as the one that should alone be glorified. I'm talking about the center, C-E-N-T-E-R. John 1:14 and John 14:1, those two go together. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. That's it. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, the first two verses, was God. The Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Which one of the Trinity became flesh and dwelt among human beings? Not the Holy Spirit. Not God the Father, but God the Son. So Jesus Christ is the Word. And He became flesh and dwelt among us. And He brought back to us the opportunity to see and perceive and to experience and to delve into the glory of God again. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We were lost and undone without God and without hope in this world. No way to recover the glory. How are we going to get it back? The only way we can is acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the one that brought it back, and that the way you are afforded the opportunity to enter into that glory again is to honor and glorify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ by adhering to His Word and believing on Him that He is alone your salvation. No other name under heaven, given under heaven among men, whereby you must be saved. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus said. And that's the truth. So, well, I was baptized when I was a baby. You didn't even know you was a sinner yet. What did you repent of? Well, I joined the church and I give money to the church and I built a wing onto the hospital and I do good. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. By the washing of regeneration, dear friend, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Dear soul, listen. Jesus Christ is the answer that you are only allowed to benefit by to stand in the presence of Almighty God. Well, I know my granddaddy went to heaven. Well, I hope he did. Well, I know Aunt Tula or whatever her face was. She went to heaven. Listen. I'm not trying to keep any of your relatives out of heaven. But I'm telling you that neither they, nor me, nor you, or anybody else is going to get into the presence of God's glory eternally except by giving and ascribing glory and honor to the person of Jesus of Nazareth, who Himself is very God. And since it says, not if it says, but since it says, in John chapter 12 in verse number 31. Therefore, when Judas was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. How did Judas going out glorify Him? Because that was the one that was bringing the doubt and was quenching the spirit among the disciples. That was the one that was filled with the devil. In verse 27 of John 12, it says, after the sop, Satan entered into him, whom? Judas. Then Jesus said unto him, that thou doest do quickly. I don't want to be around you. You're full of the devil. That thou doest do quickly. Go on and get me betrayed so that I can get on with this. I want to be able to bring glory and honor to my Father. And now that Judas has gone out and this thing has been done and we're rid of this disease, this virus that's been among us, this virus of unbelief, this virus of greed, this virus of the love of money is gone out. Now, the Son of Man can be glorified. And he says, if God be glorified in him, now is the Son of Man glorified. Let me read it again. John 13 and verse number 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Why? Because Jesus didn't represent Jesus. Jesus represented the Father. I said a minute ago, and I didn't follow it up, John 1:14 and John 14:1. John 1:14, we beheld him full of the glory of God the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. All right. Jesus Christ brought the glory back. Then he tells us in John 14:1, you believed in God the Father? Now you can believe in me exactly in the same way, fully and completely. I am God. You believe that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph was God or is God? Yes. That's what we believe in the Old Testament. All right. In the New Testament, it's the exact same way, but now I am appearing to you as that God. I was always that God. You believe in the Father, believe also in me. I'm the one that's going to bring the glory back. That's the way that it was. Going back to John 13. Man, I guess I'm really confusing y'all going back and forth with all this. Hang in here with me. Listen. John 13, 31. Now is the Son of Man glorified because Jesus has gone out and God is glorified in him, in the Son. Now, our passage today, our lesson today, our title today is from verse 32 of John 13. If God be glorified in him, and I would say since God is glorified in Jesus Christ, God shall also glorify him in himself. I don't glorify anybody but God. And since God is glorified in that which I do, then God's going to turn around and glorify me in myself. And he has one more thing. And it's going to happen very soon. And he says, and shall straightway glorify him. That word straightway is commonly used among the gospel writers. It means immediately. And straightway, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So quickly, right? We're not going to deviate. We're not going to, circumvent. We're going straight into this thing. I am going to be immediately glorified. What was he talking about? His death, burial, and resurrection and ascension into heaven. That was what was on the agenda, if I can say that, of God right then. Nothing else. The most important time in the history of the world was the time of God's Son, death, burial, resurrection and ascension into the portals of glory and to satisfy Almighty God. He's going to say, it is finished in John 19:30. Now, in John chapter 12, verse number 27, let me keep up with the time. We don't have but just a few more minutes, about five or six minutes. John chapter 12, verse 27. Jesus says, and this just shows you his humanity. How would you know that God had any true empathy or sympathy or feeling of your infirmities if he didn't have any of himself? John 12:27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Just the natural thing to be said by the human flesh was, Father, save me from this hour. He said, but I can't say that, because for this hour am I now come. For this cause came I unto this hour. So what am I going to say? Not, Father, save me from this hour to relieve my soul's trouble, but I am going to say, Father, glorify thy name. Dear soul, when we get into horrible trials and heartaches and reverses in life and disappointments, the thing that we need to do is get in touch with God, not with our soul. Your soul is going to whine and carry on and be pitiful and throw a pity party. But the thing that's going to raise you up and put you in good stead with God and therefore in better relationship with your situation and your circumstance is, Father, do this for the glory of God. Help me to go through this for the glory of God. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, the people heard the voice. Here's what they thought of God's voice. Number one, it's thunder. Others said, no, it was an angel that spoke to him. Jesus said, listen, let me clear this up. This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. God the Father wants you to know that God hath been glorifying his name by the person of the Lord Jesus in feeding of the 5,000, in healing of the blind, in healing of the lame, in bringing the demoniac back from the tombs and sending him forth to preach the word of God. God hath been glorifying himself in all those things, but listen, but for your sakes he heard it. What does that mean? Go back up there to verse number 20. For whose sake? And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, desiring him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Now that caused quite a stir. These Gentiles wanted an audience with Christ. What happened? They came to Philip. What did Philip do? I don't know what to do. Verse number 22. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. What did Andrew do? I don't know what to do. Andrew, again, and Philip tell Jesus. Jesus said, let me stop all this confusion. The Greeks are wanting to come to me. What you need to understand and see is that that which will get the Gentiles, the lost, to come to me is the issue of the glory of God. This voice came for your sakes. What was the voice? I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Well, this person, they say they want to be saved, Brother Gene. What we need to do, we need to give them the Roman road. No, we don't. We need to give them, a baptism robe, and we need to give them the tithing envelopes. Well, that's how you make somebody a Baptist. That ain't how you make anybody a Christian. What you need to do is get them in touch with the voice of God the Father booming out from heaven. Listen! Get involved with the glory of God. Jesus said this voice came from your sakes. Why? Because you don't know what to do with the Greeks that's seeking Jesus. Our time is gone, dear friend. I hope this has not been too confusing. I hope that rambling, as it were, here, there, and yonder through the Scriptures, you've been able to follow it. If you hadn't, go back and listen to it again and take your time and study these passages. Write them down as the verses that we looked at, and sit down quietly somewhere and go back and look over those verses and see what God would say to you. Thank you for your prayers and your attention. May God bless you.